Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to finish up reflecting this week on the seven churches of Asia Minor given to us in the book of Revelation. Been looking at them just because they're so instructive about, number one, who the Lord is, how close he is to his people, how much he wants to help the leaders of his people, and how deeply engaged the churches are in spiritual combat. And some of these churches are struggling deeply. Some of them are being more faithful in the context of that battle and that struggle. Another thing you see is how serious Jesus is about wanting to make himself known. So he reveals dimensions of his character and his majesty and his power. The key to being able to live out the Christian life is, first of all, to know the Lord and to know his mercy, his love, his tenderness, all the wonder of the heart of God himself, but also to know his power, his majesty, his awesomeness, and the reality that it's a, like Scripture says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fear of the Lord is something that moves through many of the things that Jesus communicates to these churches. He wants to help them see reality the way he sees reality, his hatred for sin, his hatred for compromise, his clear vision about the strategies of the devil and those who are influencing and infecting the church in a negative way. And he comes to purify his church because he is committed to presenting to the Father a pure and a spotless bride. And he wants to bring as many people as possible into heaven, into that eternal union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that comes through living in, walking in obedience to the Lord and loving him and loving your neighbor imperfectly, yes, but just saying yes and yes and yes to the Lord, staying on that path, staying focused on the first and the greatest thing of all, which is to have God at the center of our lives and living to please him. So today it's Philadelphia and Laodicea, two very interesting and really different churches. The church in Philadelphia, it's one of two churches, Smyrna being the other one, among the seven churches who doesn't receive a correction from the Lord, but only encouragement. So they're really walking in the context they find themselves in. They're really walking in faithfulness to the Lord. So Jesus begins again saying something about who he is. Who is it who's addressing them? First of all, he said, the Holy One. The Holy One. He's the ultimate, transcendent, infinitely great, superior. It's hard to put words on it. God is God. And it's God speaking to them. He's the true, he said. He's faithful. He's genuine. He keeps his promises to the end. Scripture says at one place, he's not a man that he should lie. And he holds the keys of David. He's the true Messiah. And he has full authority over all the nations and all creation. And all the promises given to David as the great king are given to the Lord and far beyond. And he's the one who opens and no one shall close, and closes no one shall open, when he opens the kingdom of God to you. And he says, yes, and we respond to him. That door will stay open. We'll enter into the kingdom. If that door closes, whatever doors he closes, they stay closed. So he is the Holy One of God who loves us. And so we keep in balance the amazing love of God that stirs us and moves and motivates us. But also we stand with sober acknowledgement of his might and power. And we live with a holy fear that characterizes the people of God. Healthy fear, not slavish fear. And so Jesus gives the diagnosis. He said, I know your works. I have left an open door before you, which no one can close. It is an open door of the messianic kingdom, right? As I was just saying, he's got all authority. He said, you have limited strength, and yet you have kept my word. He loves it. They're persevering. They're enduring. They're obeying God, which is, as I've said many times in the program, it's the love language of heaven. Obedience. You've not denied my name, he says. You have not denied my name. Now that's living in a world that's pressuring them to deny his name. Whether it's the angry Jewish communities that are pressing in on them, again, in this case, that's partly what's happening, or it's the huge Roman Empire that's trying to intimidate them to deny the name of Jesus. He says, behold, I make those of the assembly of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, he described in another place. These are Jewish people who reject the Messianic believers and reject the teaching of Jesus. They claim loyalty to God, but they're excluding the Messianic believers. And I will make them come and fall prostrate at your feet, Jesus said. That's fulfillment of a word, Isaiah 60:14. The children of your oppressors shall come bowing before you. All those who despised you shall bow low at your feet. And this is really beautiful, tender thing. Jesus says, and they will realize that I love you. They're rejecting the ones whom Jesus loves. That's a beautiful, beautiful reflection. It says, because you have kept my message of endurance, I will keep you safe in the time of trial that's going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. And these are the rewards Jesus promises to them. You'll be a pillar in the temple of my God. Their presence in the place where God dwells is secure, Jesus is saying. A place of honor and a place of authority will be given to them. They will be victors in this overcoming. He says he will never leave it again. It's once you're there, he said, I will inscribe on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Inscriptions mean belonging completely to God. And Jesus is going to write it all over them, the name of God, Father, the name of the New Jerusalem, Jesus' new name. He's sharing it with them. They've been so loyal to him. He wants to give those he loves and who love him a full share in everything that's his. Now, the church in Laodicea, which lots of people say is a good description of the church in America, it was one of the leading cities in Asia Minor, 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia. It's a banking center, a manufacturing and clothing, carpets and native glossy black wool, a seat of medical school noted for its Phrygia powder used to make eye salve for people who are dealing with different kinds of eye diseases, and complications. It was wealthy until it was destroyed by an earthquake in AD 60. So again, who's the one who's speaking now to Laodicea? Jesus said, I am the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the source of God's creation. Everything, this is like rings with the words of Paul in Colossians. Everything was made for him. Everything was made by him. He's the Amen. He's the true one. He's the faithful one. He's reliable. He's the origin and principle of all things. So this is the one who's addressing the church in Laodicea. He said, I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's kind of interesting. Laodicea did not have its own water source. There were two cities near it, Hierapolis and Colossae. Hierapolis had hot healing springs, and Colossae had cold, fresh water, and they drew water from these places, and so their water was lukewarm. And Jesus is, I guess, using that picture and that experience to say, you're like the water. You're neither hot nor cold. And so Jesus is essentially saying to them, your indifference, your lack of real radical love, putting first things first, it makes me sick, and it makes him angry. He says, for you say I'm rich and affluent and have no need of anything. And so they were, again, a rich church, relatively speaking. It's a great temptation for human beings. And even us in the church today, we live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world. It's easy to become lukewarm, distracted, fixed more attentively to the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, all the things we want to have for ourselves. And we begin to lose the sight of God. And we live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And we're compromised. There's a kind of deceptive self-sufficiency that grows within us. We seek the respect of the fellow citizens around us. We've got a lot of stake in the world because we have a lot. We've accomplished a lot. We've possessed a lot. We often want to secure that. And our best energies go there instead of our best energies being given in our love and obedience to the Lord and the love of neighbor. He said, yet you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Friends, just think for a minute. The self-understanding of the people and the understanding of Jesus of the people. People say, look, I'm rich. I'm affluent. I really don't have any need of anything. I'm comfortable. I'm good. I've got plenty of things to get me out of bed in the morning, to kind of keep me focused and to keep me happy. And Jesus and radical surrender to Jesus, which is what discipleship is by definition, putting God at the center of our life and living as John the Apostle said, my life is no longer my own. I make it my aim now to please the Lord. He died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. I'm living for another. That's the purpose of my life. Yet it's possible feeling content. I give money to people who need it. I attend church and all is well. And Jesus says, here's what I see. You're wretched. That is, you're calloused and your heart is hard. You're pitiable. You're poor. You're blind. You can't see the truth. You're naked. You see yourself clothed in garments and, you know, fancy stuff. Jesus said, you're naked. These are the harshest words Jesus gives to any of the seven churches. He's got very hard words to speak to Jezebel, the individual, but here he's talking to the whole church. He's diagnosing it. He said, I advise you. Here's what he challenges them to do, right? To buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. Jesus is saying you've been seduced, you've been suckered into thinking that your physical wealth is somehow a great boon for you. It's a value, but it's of limited value. Jesus is saying, what is the gold? He's saying real faith, real trust, real radical heart surrender to God. He said, buy white garments to put on so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed. The white garments, again, is the victory of the Lord. It's purity. It's pure love for God, right? It symbolizes righteous conduct. And then he says, buy ointment to smear on your eyes so that you may see. So again, we talked about this hospitals and this development of like an eye salve that they had, that they specialized in, that everybody, they were well known for, is probably the source of some of their great wealth. And Jesus said, now, there's a spiritual blindness that's killing you. And you don't even see it. Buy from me the ointment that will open your eyes so that you will know what's of greatest value, what you're missing, and you'll return. And so that ointment symbolizes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He says, to those whom I love, I reprove and I chastise. So this is a normal, this is the love of God that's coming to the church in Laodicea, this compromised, lukewarm church. He's not happy with it, but he loves it profoundly. And this is like Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, where he said, you know, the Father disciplines the Son whom he loves. This is what God does. This is what we need to have. And this is what we need in the church today in America. You think about how much, any poll you read, the vast majority of baptized Catholics live no differently on the major moral issues of our time than people don't even believe in God. There's an intense compromise. There's a lukewarmness. There's a kind of indifference, or if there's a desire to reshape the faith according to my own desires and the like. Jesus comes to reprove and to chastise, and we need to be able to receive it. And he promises to them victory. He stands at the door and knocks, he said. Open the door from the inside. He will come and strengthen, forgive, and cleanse. Friends, let's continue to press into this great season of Lent. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.